So here it's all over, a half a year of work.
Right.
Marm is a half a year.
Hmm?
It's a half a year of work.
What's a half a year?
From Pesach till Sukkot.
Half a year.
Enormous job.
From
Pesach to the Sfira, to the 3 weeks, then the Tisha B'Av, to Elul, to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur.
Yeah,
it's
one
vast.
And
it really is. I mean, even the holiday. It's one holiday of Cheres. Start the Cheres on Pesach, go to the Luches, and the Shira Tzavuches, and then to the Tikkun and Shira Tzavuches, and the Sukkot, and the Sukkot, and the Binyan Mishkan, and then you have a little bit of time to live. Until it starts
now
again.
Now we're finally at Reya Chagim.
But it's unbelievable. I mean, you feel the enormous, you know, sense of, my God, this was an amazing job. You literally work your head off, basically, for a half a year. When it's taken seriously, it's like, it's overwhelming.
He sees the half full. I see the half empty. Thank God it's over for another half year.
That's why we call it Mar Cheshvan. It's Mar so bitter.
It's bitter.
Now we're not. Definitely. I mean, look, you need some time to figure out what the new data is to process the next time around. But there is an amazing job. I don't know, Kutzlars, whether they had before all these people today. There's such a sense of, wow, what a job this has been. You know?
Yeah.
When you think about the Shinurim that we've done, with so much research, so much work, from the Midas Hayom, Hilchos Teshuva, the Haggadah, and that. It's constant. Mine's constant. Okay.
Shah Shabbat Sidra. It takes 6 months.
6 months,
sure. It's not a year.
No,
just 6 months.
It's 6 months. But it's six solid months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
I thought you wanted a little lower.
Yeah, better off. Anybody want it? Yes? No?
We'll live.
No.
I didn't. I think you wanted it before, but you're okay by now.
It's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we begin the real Yom HaRishon, I guess, huh? Yisruchag. Well, Yisruchag, we still have a little bit of life left in us. Baruch Hashem, come Shabbos, we don't have to face the utter whole of it, huh? Okay. Okay, Rabosai, so here we are, happy, joyous, ready for a new year, Yir HaKodesh Yerushalayim, and we're holding on Daf Chof Dalet, and we're on the top line. Now, what we had discussed until now was being mafrish extra money. So we have two piles of money, lechatchila, for Afrayis, and Rabami wanted to make sure that we understood that's not the same thing as having ma'os that were used for kapara that should go be thrown into the HaMelech. So we went through, the last thing we went through was according to whom was the skiddush, what would we have thought. And today's Gemara is an extension of that because Rebbe Ushia discusses here, HaMafrishtei Chata'ot La'achrayut. Here, instead of setting aside money, he actually sets aside animals. You have two animals. And he wants to make sure in case something happens to one, he doesn't want to take any chances at not having his chet mechupar. And the din is, mitchaper b'achat mehem v'chaverta ro'ah. Even though we've just finished a long sugya that talks about chatos hamesos, that if you dove for one of those chatos, but you're dying in big trouble, the other one has to die. Right? And it was other things. It was laughter kapar. I mean, a lot of detail in that, but Rebbe Ushia says, don't confuse that with the case where you set aside two chataot la'achrayut in the first place. Over there, it's not a chatat hameta. You choose one, the other one, you can let it be roah till it gets a mum. That's not included in the chatot hameta. As you are libe d'man. Who is he saying this according to? I mean, you'll have a libe d'rabbanan. I mean, it certainly does not need to be said according to the rabbanan who hold that even if you found, in a case of avuda, you found the avuda before the kapora, after the hafrasha, I mean, according to Marach, I mean, hashta amafrish li ibadam rebonalavki ibadami. where you already lost the animal, set another aside another animal to take its place. The Rabbanan said, that's not a Chatas HaMeisa. Kol Shekein, if you set it up in the first place, where you have your choice to bring either one, obviously it's not a Chatas HaMeisa. So, I mean, why did Rav Oshi have to say it to teach me anything? I'll leave it to Rabbanan. It's child's play. La'achrayut l'mi boy. Ela, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Is it going according to Rabbi Shimon? No way. Rabbi Shimon wouldn't agree. Because Amar Rabbi Shimon, Chamesh Chata'ot Meitot. Look, Rabbi Shimon has a very simplistic view of this whole thing, okay? Just keep it simple. The deal is, it's Chamesh Chata'os HaMesos. You have a Chatas, you're Mischaper with another one on this Avera. That Chatas is Kaput. That's all there is to it. What do I care for? Ma'afreshet La'achrayot. Your mafreshet with Avuda. I don't know any difference. I don't know any kunshin. There's no difference between Avuda, non-Avuda. It's all the same. So, I mean, according to him, it wouldn't be true. According to Rabbi Shimon, you set aside shtei chataot la'achrayut. The din is, you're mitchaper with one, and the other one is a chatat ameta. There's no way out of that. So, Rabbi Moshe couldn't have been speaking, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, okay? The only shita that's left, of course, is Rabbi. He was coming to tell me Rabbi's shita, and in Rabbi, indeed, it is a chiddush. He's saying, because Rabbi, after all, holds that if you found an avuda before kapora, and then you go ahead and get the kapora, it would be meita. Comes along Rav Oshi to say, that's only if there was an avuda. But if you set it up, l'chatchila, to have your choice of two chataot, just to make sure you had one available, then it's not meita, even according to Rebbe. So what he's saying is, ki amar Rebbe bi'ibud, avol la'achrayut lo. Rebbe never meant that if you have two chataot set aside for achrayut, that if one dies, that the other one, I mean, if one is used, that the other one should die. Now, wait a minute. What about now the Mishnah? It's not. Hamafrish, we just had this Mishnah before. Hamafrish Chatat. Somebody said it's a Chatas. It becomes a Balat Mu. Okay? He sells it. Mochra. Mevi Achar Tachtea. He brings another one in its place. So everything seems fine, except that we have this incredible halacha from Rabbi Eliezer, Barabbi Shimon, who says that im karva shniya kodem shenishkata rishona tamut shekvar kipru ba'aleha. This is unbelievable. Even though you were already, you sold the chatas, right? It's balat mochra. You sold the chatas. Afal pikein. The din is that if you bring the other chatas that took its place before the other person, the purchaser, somewhere in Timbuktu, had a chance to shecht it, to eat it, it becomes usher in Timbuktu, because you were mischaper with another chatas. That's what Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon said. And we thought, we thought that he was going a libet sheet of Rebbe, and that nonetheless he is saying that even in this case, and he would have said, afilu ba'achrayut. In other words, what he's saying is, when I set aside over here the second one, it was basically la'achrayut. I had a chatas. I got rid of it already. I sold it. It was a balas mum. I went ahead now and bought another one. I mean, that's the same as achrayut. And yet the halakha is that the first one should die because I used another one. It was never lost. Nothing. I did everything on the up and up. I had a normal chatas. I had to sell it. Okay, so I bought another one to take its place. And that's exactly the same as if I would have had two in the beginning, and one of them went bad, and I used the other one. That's exactly this case. And you're saying, even if it's in Timbuktu, it's going to die. I thought Rav Oshi said that assuming the Rav Loza, Rav Shimon, I was like, Rabbi over here, right? So then you said, according to Rabbi, in a case where it's Ma'afrish La'achrayut, the other one wouldn't die. And here it did die. How do you explain that? Is this discussion clear? You look confused.
I'm not, focused, but I'll get back into it in a moment.
You had looked so focused originally.
Station break.
It's the Titanic. Maybe he's right. Yeah. The moment we put the Titanic on there, you started to sink.
Keep going on.
All right. So how do we explain that? Tokazak, Dr. Rablaz, Rav Shimon, Karebi, Svirli. And nonetheless, afilu ba'achrayut nami. So come on now, Dilmer of the Lazar Rebbe Shimon Kavuis, really. What makes you think he was like Rebbe? I mean, who's his father, Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon? What face is on the Lincoln penny? Lincoln!
Lincoln's his father.
Ripple. You saw that joke about Tony Blair?
No, yeah. Yeah, honestly.
Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's father is Rabbi Shimon. Well, Rabbi Shimon shittis chamesh chataot hametot, right? Nu. So chamesh chataot hametot, that means that's why he owes that even lachrayut, it's meitot. We said that already. That's no chiddush. Rabbi Oshia's chiddush was only in terms of Rebbe. There it's taka chiddush. Fine. So now, the Mishnah says, this was back, we discussed this, where you remember you had your shnei seirim, one la Azazel, one la Hashem, and then the Azazel drops dead, and you need to do another goral and so on. As it says over there, you're going to end up now with two chatot la Hashem. But whatever one you use, which is a machlok, is which one you use, we already saw one shita, but whatever one you use, the other one doesn't die. Why? Lefisha ein chatat tzibur meita. Okay, fine, but what if it wouldn't have done? In other words, in the equivalent case of a yachid, it would have died. Had the yachid meita. Now, Rav explained over there that when it says the other one, which one do you use, which one is the other one? You have the chatas l'ashem that was originally matched up to the Sarah Mishtaleach that dropped dead, and now you have a new chatas l'ashem that you had to create by doing a goral on the two siri. So Rav says, well, look, ba'alei chayim inam nidachim. The point is that a ba'al chai, even though there was a period in which it was unusable during the time that the other one had died, but now that you've got another seir l'azazel, it's usable again. And if it's usable again, then you ought to use it. So therefore, when he's mitchaper, kishu mitchaper, he should choose the chatat l'ashem, which was the second one, of the original match, Shebezug Rishon, who mitchaper. Okay, now think about this. The second one is what? Second one becomes achrayut, essentially, to the first one. If something happens to the first one, to the second one is achrayut. In other words, he has two karbanas in front of him. So basically, if anything would have happened to the first one, he would have used the second one. Good, so now he's got achrayut, okay? You said that in a case of achrayut, we don't see that as a case of achatat hamita. Because it's all on the up and up. They were both here in front of you. Nothing was ever wrong with it. So why shouldn't it be used? But here it says, Beferish in the Mishnah, if it wouldn't be for the fact that this was a Chatas Tzibur, it would have had to die. So there you see, Rav Oshia is wrong.
You didn't have two in front of you at the time.
I said, do I have two in front of me?
No, but you didn't have
always two. Had. When didn't I have two?
Before the one that was sent away died.
So
you had only the original.
You're right, but before my kapora, I had nothing. Ain balechayim nidachin. I had nothing wrong. It's the same as the case that we asked before in Rabbi Elazar Shimon. I end up with the equivalent. Right. You're right. It's not technical, but it's equivalent. Yeah. The same thing.
Okay.
So how do you explain that? So it's achrayut v'katani d'yachid, and it's saying over here that had it belonged to a yachid and not to a tzibur, it would have been mesa. Now go put that in your pipe and smoke it. Says Gemara, that's not a question. It's not achrayut, because l'maisa Rav l'ta'ameh the Amar Mitzvah Brishon. Look, Rav says that you have a chiyuv to bring the first one, and this is a whole sheet. That this is Rabbi Yossi's sheet and Psachim. That in cases like this, it's not up to you to decide which one we're going to use. You must use the first one. So if you must use the first one, you don't have the option. Therefore, you can't view it as achrayut. In which case, it really was hufrash le'ibud, essentially. Tani Rav Shimi, but in the case of achrayut, you can choose either one. When you can choose either one, neither one is meita.
But in this case, they had a new agrala, or whatever.
They had a new agrala, and they end up with two, and now they end up with two chatot l'ashem.
They brought two.
Well, you can't bring two. You choose which one you want to bring. So since Rav Shita, you have to bring the first one where the Sawyer died.
If he was right, then he could have just taken another
sayer. No, you can't. You can only create a sayer through a goral between two animals, both of which have to be roid. And when you do that goral, you take both. One is Lashem and one is Lazazel. So you're always going to be left with an extra Lashem.
That's why it's more logical that the second one he made.
Okay, that's a different issue. But since he holds mitzvah berishain, so the second one has to die. Because it's not an option. That question already is a yuma sugya. I mean, that's not for us now to discuss.
It's that.
In that case, it doesn't die. That's the equivalent case where it's not mamish lachrayut. You don't have a choice. By a yachid, would have had to die. Toni Rav Shimi Bar Ziri, Kamed Rav Papa. Now, Rav Shimi Bar Ziri said something in front of Rav Papa that doesn't make any sense. What he said was like this. Avda b'sha'at hafrasha. If this thing was avuda at the time of the hafrasha of the second, the one to take its place. I mean, that's the minimum avuda, right? It was lost, so because it was lost, I was mafresh another one.
Right.
Not that I was mafresh another one in case something would happen to it, which was achrayut. So it was avud b'shat afresha. The din is, according to Rebbe, it dies after you mitchaper with another one. And according to the Rabbanan, it doesn't. Because according to the Rabbanan, only if it's found after kapora does it die, right? But if it's found before kapora, after afresha, let it get a mum, and everything will be fine. Avda b'sha'at kapara, if it was lost at the time of the kapara, and then found after it was mitchaper ba'acher, l'rabanan meta, and here comes the crazy thing that he says, but according to Rebbe, it would be roya. I mean, this violates everything that we've been speaking about. He's claiming that according to Rebbe, if it was lost, b'sha'at kapara, the second one, then it's okay. Then it's not meta. To which the Gemara, of course, responds, what are you talking about? It's a kal v'chomer. If the aveda b'shat hafrasha, where even the Rabbanan say that it's roya, nonetheless, Rebbe says that it's meita. So koshikein, if it was aveda b'shat kapara, Rabbanan beita Rabbanan, the Rebbe lo koshikein, of course it was good at that. What are you talking about? Sorry. Elatini achi, I meant, I guess, that aveda b'shat hafrasha, the Rebbe meita, the Rabbanan roa, Bishat kapara divrei akol meita. So it was avuda at the time that I bring the other katas. Both Rebbe and Rabbanan agree, which is of course the way we've been learning the whole time. But Rebbe and Rabbanan agree that it has to die.
He
ha!
You got the wrong information, or
teach you?
Absolutely. Rabbi Zeri misquoted the
ye of little faith.
Rabbi
Zeri misquoted
the text,
and he misquoted the Aloha. Yeah. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon. Now this is very confusing. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, remember, told us this wild halacha about Timbuktu, right? You sold the chatas, got at Noam. You forgot about it completely. The guy moved to Timbuktu, moved away with your ex chatas. So you bought another chatas now, and the next yontif you're coming up, whatever, it's a year later, you're going to bring now your carbon. Meanwhile, this guy in Timbuktu has got your ex-chatas. He doesn't think twice about it. He's about to shecht to have a good meal. All of a sudden, he gets a telegram, you can't eat that chatas because it's a chatas hamesa, because some guy went ahead and shecht, the guy who sold it to you went ahead and shechted another chatas. Oh my God. So this Rabbi Shimon holds that it remains a chatas hamesa, you better eat it fast before the other guy goes in and gets a kapora, because otherwise you won't be able to shechta. That was the sheet of Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon Mishnah. What's going to happen here is that we're going to discover, we're going to pretend that everything is fine, and we're going to actually find a contradiction in Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon and never even address it. That's what Gemara is very strange. But In the course of thinking about Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, we want to apply his logic to a very interesting other case. Because his logic seems to imply that even though a chatas was sold, and it's completely padui, it's not in the base of English, not in the Gea, it nonetheless retains its name of a chatas, and it's still connected to its past. Can't escape its past. Right? So, Tana Rabbanan, what's the interesting case? The case is whether on Yontav you can be Margil. Remember, we had this sugya before, back in Bechayres. Can you take the skin off of an animal on Yontav by pulling it down off of the leg, which allows you to have a complete skin, which can then be utilized commercially for bellows. And also for storage of liquids and so on. In other words, what you're trying to, normally what you do is you slice the skin and then you just peel it off. But then you've got a flat thing, which anything you turn it into is going to not be airtight. If you want an airtight skin, and why would you want to attach it to a bellows? And this is a great thing. I mean, if you don't have plastic, you know, this is great. And what you do is, all you have to do is you have to tie up the legs, and then you've got yourself a complete bellows. So the shaila is, are you allowed to do this on Yontav? So first of all, the bride says, no, you can't do it on Yontav. Kayotsebo, you can't do it at all, ever, to a bechor. No, I'm fine, thank you. Can't do it to a bechor, ever. And you can't do it to Psulei Amavdash, ever. So what's the logic of it? Bishlam would be Yontav. Okay, I understand I can't do it on Yontav. On Yontav, it's a lot of tircha. The doing it this way is difficult to do, and it's not part of my Yontav pleasure. I mean, it's just...
It's a commercial thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I said, but what do you mean? But I need to eat. I checked with the animal. I want to eat. Fine, but that has nothing to do with this. I mean, take the skin off in the easiest possible way. What are you being tereach tircha that you don't need to do for Yontav? So I understand over there... No, it's not a kli now, but it's a tircha de lo chazilei. I'm not creating a kli, I'm leaving it as it is. I'm just taking out the inside from the current kli.
You can write letters on the cow, that way you have to
write letters. Elo bechor. Well, what's the svar of a bechor? I'm going to go to pshat of a bechor. I can't be margil. I mean, obviously we're talking about a case where there's a bechor, there's a baal mum, somebody's about to eat it. And you're telling me I can't be margil. What am I doing wrong? Mantana. So who's the author of that? Omer Pesach, that's Beit Shammai. Clearly that's Beit Shammai Shita. Beit Shammai holds that Bechor B'Kedusha Seikoi, a Bechor remains Kadesh. Really? Yeah, because it's not Beit Shammai, Omer. Remember the famous Shita Beit Shammai, Lo Yimaneh Yisrael, Ema Koin, Ala Bechor. A Koin is about to eat a Bechor. It's completely chulin, thought. It's a Bechor Balmum. He can't invite a Yisrael to the meal. So apparently, according to Beit Shammai, Bechor retains its Kedusha. Since it retains its Kedusha, you're not allowed to be mezalzel in it in this fashion. And therefore you have to treat it in such a way that it can't be used commercially. And what about Psulei Amukdashim? Normal Psulei Amukdashim, Mantana? Amrav Chista. Ah, Psulei Amukdashim, that's Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Yes, indeedy. Because did we not discover in our Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon says, even if it's in Timbuktu, you can't take the Kodesh out of the Chatas if you take the Chatas out of the Kodesh, right? And it still is going to be a Chatas HaMesa. Uh-huh. I mean, everybody else always thought, once it's out of the realm of Kodesh, you can check it, you can eat it, doesn't have to worry about it. It's past history as a Chatas. And he says, no, you never escape that past history. Okay, so if you never escape that past history, so then that means that basically you have to still treat it as if it's B'Kedusha Seh, and therefore it's Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Titania, now the only problem is that the Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon that is here quoted is not the same sheet of Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon in the Mishnah. I mean, where does he even talk about this? What's worse is that the Chachamim who argue on Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon here say the same thing that Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon says in the Mishnah. That's very troubling. So, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But what is the case? The time. Hayulif anav shtei chataot. The guy's, he's got his chatas to choose between. Now what happened is one of them is a balasumum. Vachatmima, vachat balatumum. Okay. So the tmima tekarev, the balasmum, you can go and be potent. Now, if nishchata balat mumat shalom nizrakta mashal tmima mutaras, if you get in your meal of the balasmum before the zrikas adam of the other one, then you're okay. But if not, if you didn't check it on time, and you ended up bringing the kapora of the other one before you shechted this one, then it's asura. Now, in the Mishnah, that's the seat of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Over here, it's the Rabbanan sheet. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon argues. And he says, no, it won't be enough to shecht it. Where in the Mishnah he says it will be enough to shecht it. Even if it's in your cholent pot, and which is 3 days after, maybe it's a half a year and you had the meat in the freezer, you put it in the cholent pot, all of a sudden you get that horrible telegram, your cholent is trafe because it's a chatas hamesa. I mean, we've got brand new ways of ossering your kalim here.
You never
would have thought of that.
What happens if you eat it and you didn't know and the telegram didn't get there in time? Which molecules of your body
become mesa?
What happens? What happens to you? Do you have to bring an asham? Do you have to bring
no.
Talmud,
right? It's only asher banam and rabbanan.
Oh,
remember?
It's only by the rabbanan.
Great.
Well, now get some rabbanan.
But you gotta admit that this is a brand new way of trafing up a pot. I mean, this is the maximum. How can you have something that is totally kosher? How can you have something that is totally kosher, has been salted, ready to eat at any moment, put it into your cholent pot, and all of a sudden it becomes trafed because of some other quantum effect on the other side of the universe?
Quantum effect, exactly.
This is the only case we have like that. Come on, Sabah Josh. Isn't this exciting?
Yes, no question about it. I just want to know what you do with the pot. You just toil it up?
Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer. So what is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon in this case?
No.
I understand what the problem is. You want to use this for the Chumrah of the Month Club as a one-upmanship thing, of figuring out how nobody else recognized that their kalim were all trait. It's not going to work. You need a base of English for this one.
Became a mesa after he was dead.
That's right. Amazing. He became a mesa as a cholent. It's a cholent hamesa.
Oh, I've had those.
That's right. It became more dead than
it was. Says the din of eating is in the back of the throat. If he's chewing it, it becomes like silver lava as he swallows.
There we go. It's not a lava.
Is it the equivalent of eating in the
No.
What's the
nothing we said. It's also lo nenin velo molek. Fine. So what does he say? Even in your cholent pot, yerzila beis asreifa. Take the cholent out of the beis asreifa. That's the end. Now. Wait a second, why did we need, if we already saw that Beit Shammai holds that a Bechor is in Yotze from his Kedusha, why did we need to say that this is going according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Why couldn't this be going according to Beit Shammai too? I mean, it's a Tzurei Magdasha. So the Lukmi, Edik Beit Shammai, why didn't he just say both things were going according to Beit Shammai? Now, how do you know? Maybe, Dilma Kiyamri Beit Shammai Bechor, Dikedusha Tei Mirecha. Could be that Beit Shammai's halacha would be dafkin of Bechor. Since the Bechor has some type of Kedusha that's innate, and it's not given as a result of what you did with it. So over there, and that's why it has no pinyan. You can't be pod a Bechor, so it's innately a Bechor. So maybe what he's saying is an animal that has a Kedusha that's innate and that was never podui, even when it has a heter achila, nonetheless, it still had the shame of its Kedusha on it. Now, you certainly can't extrapolate from there that the din would be by Psulei HaMukdashim, that the halacha is that it's something that's been padui, or machur, still has a din of relating back to where it came from. I certainly could have thought that the pinyan completely removes whatever Kedusha I was the one with my pet to create on it. So, you couldn't have understood that. Okay. So then, why not just say they're both going according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? Why did you need to involve Beit Shammai in the story? I mean, if Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that about Psulei HaMukdashim, surely he would hold it about a Bechor, where there never even was a pinyan, right? Well, no, wait a minute. Dilma kiyamar ablaz ripshima bipsilim abdashim dalime lamit vispidyayna. Ah, wait a second over here. Psilim abdashim are different because remember that psilim abdashim can be padui. And when they are padui, what does that show? That the level of kedusha in them is powerful enough to be tofi, something else in its place. Now that level of kedusha may indeed imply residual kedusha that allows it to become a chatas amazing, yes. But to say that there's a residual kedusha in a bechor where pidyon is not possible, which was never all in lamitvas pidyon, right? Maybe a bechor doesn't have that extra oomph of iser in it to say that it should be aser bahar gala, even though it's now a balmum. Doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, "Kop suleyam uktashim nishkatim miitlis v'nimkarim ba'itlis v'nishkalim b'litra." Look, I mean, you're telling me that he holds there's a level of kedusha that allows it to become a kadosh amesa. That's all very nice. Bottom line is that we allow a hanhaga with kachim, that is bazui. I'm saying bazui to cut up an animal, sell its meat on a scale, or put it in a supermarket. Why do we allow you to do that? We allow you to do that because the profit in that, the increased value in the animal, goes to Hagbish. Obviously, if I'm going to limit the market, then I'm going to limit the value. Well, Hargala is an increase in value because people are willing to spend more for an animal that they're able to use for skins, for commercial purposes. So you're going to be damaging Hagbish by saying, nope, sorry, that you can't do it. So why, I mean... Why is it innately different than weighing it on the scale? I don't understand. I mean, we never found that he argued about that. So how can you say that just because he holds it's a din of it becoming chatas amesa, therefore you can't sell it on the scale, so to speak, or sell it over here for commercial purposes for its skin to be used in a machine? I mean, what's wrong? You see, Alma, kiven desharita, le tofi vizami. I mean, you see that we're willing to be matir things for which people will pay extra money, and that money goes to Hagdish. Amr Reb Mori Bereda Reb Kahana, I'll tell you why. Because Masha Mashbiach Ba'or Pogem B'Basar. The bottom line is it's not worth it. Because in order to do Hargala, you can't pull off the skin the way you normally do. Normally when you slice the skin and you grab it, you pull it off from the connective tissue, and none of the meat is affected. But when you're trying to slip the skin off from the feet, you have to stick a knife in to keep cutting around, to loosen the skin, so that it can be pulled off. And when you do that, you inevitably mess up the meat that's adjacent to the connective tissue. And in the end, you end up losing the weight of the meat of the animal anyway. So it really... it evens out in terms of the value. So why should we be moderate?
It doesn't make sense, or else how would make that money?
If that's what I need, it's worth it for me.
But
if I have a machine that needs that part, as we all know, what we cannibalize, what we ruin because we need a particular part.
But then it's worth it on the market. Because people
but
don't
but,
pay
but,
that
but,
much
but this,
to make them and ruin their animal while they're doing it.
Right, but I could find somebody who wants the meat and doesn't want this. And he'll pay that for the meat. And this guy will pay that for the skin. So what do I need to do this for? Amri b'ma'arava, mishmei d'rabavi, there's a very simple solution to this. The reason we don't do it is neshinirika ovid avodah b'kachi. The idea, I mean, obviously it's a little silly, but in people's minds, they know you're allowed to eat kachi, but you're not allowed to work with them. Well, this animal is going to be working for the rest of its career as a bellows.
Oh, I remember that cow.
Look at that. Good old bossy, huh? And the male, it looks like you're being able to catch Rabbi Yosibar. I mean, it's the old problem. If you have other commercial uses, so then you may decide to wait around till you find the guy who's willing to pay you for the skin. I mean, if he's that hard up that he's willing to throw out the basar, as Yaakov said, maybe he'll pay more. If maybe he'll pay more, I may want to wait until the fare of the metal workers, you know, the napachim. So I'll keep it around. Or maybe for the accordion makers. Sabah Josh, are you ready? On this very important evening? Hagralach Vlad Katat.
Li Nether. Antunda Heineke Pepe.
Ketzad Ma'arimim Al HaBechor. Another case in which the end of one parak leads directly into the next parak. All right, we know that one of the issues that we're makbid on in the year in Tzmura is the shinui of the Kedusha. We attempt to change the Kedusha from one thing to another. How about if you want to avoid having to give a Bechor to a Kohen, instead get some decent usage out of it, get some mileage out of a Bechor? What could you do, Beheta, to make that happen? Okay, you have an animal that's about to have its first child, so it's a mivakeret. It's pregnant. All you gotta do is, you say, you know what? If this animal is carrying a male, im zachar, I want it to go for korban oil.
No, Kedusha
override?
Since its Kedusha is only Chal at birth, now over here you're giving it Kedusha now.
But a higher Kedusha, so no?
And it's a higher Kedusha as well. So Memela, the Bechor won't be Chal. So Im Zachar Ola, Yalda Zachar Yikarev Ola. If he said Im Nekeva Zivche Shlamim, Yalda Nekeva Yikarev Shlamim. If he said, of course, why in the world would he do that? Since if it's in the Keva,
he had
no problem with the Bechor. I think I was going to ask that. Im Zachar Ola, v'im Nekeva Zivche Shlamim. If he says both, fine. So then if Yalda Zachar Unekeva, what if it has both the Zachar and the Keva? Anikeva yikarev ola, manikeva azachar yikarev ola, anikeva yikarev shlami. How about if it had two males, it had twins, two males, yoldo shnei zacharim? So an interesting thing, because I only dedicated one oila. Right? On the other hand, I gave a kedushas oila to the ubrim. But I only was b'chayiv myself to bring a carbon oila. I didn't know that there were two in there. So what you do is, one of them you have to bring as an oila. The other one, it has the Kedusha of an oil, but you're not mechuyev to bring it, so you can sell it for someone who needs a carbon oil.
Why isn't one of them the Bechor?
What do you mean? They're both oilas, and the Bechor is in Chalon, and not Kedusha's oil.
How could there be two Bechor?
But we don't know which one.
Number one, maybe. Okay.
It wouldn't matter, because they're both Kaddish and Kedusha's oil. But the money that's paid me for that is chulin, because I never said I was gonna bring an oila. Right?
So
the money.
I gave one oila. So I gave a kedushas oila to the fetus, in this case, which was a twin. But I was only mechayev myself to bring a korban oila, one korban oila. So therefore, I could sell it to someone who needs something that's kaddish for kedushas oila. But he doesn't have to make the Kedusha. I made the Kedusha for him. Now he goes in and he brings it. He pays me for it. How about Yaldash Tenekevot? Same thing. Akat Meyam Tikarev Shlamim. Hashniyati Macher Lechaive Shlamim. V'dameh Achulim. How about if he really, I mean, this fetus is really interested in messing you over. So it turns itself into a tumtum. We're an androgynous. Now what are you going to do? So Yalda Tumtum Androgynous for tripping up Leolomer, ain't Kedusha Chala Aleph. In that case, no Kedusha was Chal, that we have to see why that's true.
And he can keep it.
Yeah, we'll see tomorrow. Amrev Yuda, Mutilahatu Mumba Bechor Kodim Shiatzala Virolam. As we've seen many, many times before, there's no Isser in putting a Mum into a Bechor while it's still in the uterus. The easiest way to do that is to wait till it's on its way out, obviously. So in other words, its ears have come out, the rest of it's still inside, snip its ear.
Ouch.
That which is out already?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Because it doesn't get the Kedusha Bechor until late as Rubai, Rosh Hashanah Rubai. So I'll just take the ear. So I don't really have to make a fancy operation to do this. Anybody, any layman can do this.
tricks of the trade.
Yeah. That's the Gemara. But wait a second. It says in our Mishnah, Tzna Anomer Adam Mashmir Shazu Ola Ola. Now that's, as far as I read that, it means it has to be a Korban Oil and not a Shlomi. In other words, you're looking for a top level Kedusha over here to take off this Bechor stuff. And you're saying, yeah, you could just be Mavkia the Kedusha. I mean, well, obviously we're Makbid not to just be Mavkia Kedusha. We don't want to, our Mishnah's telling you, if you're going to take it away from the Kohen, you gotta make it as Kedusha as you can. And you're saying, nah, just put a mum in it. Then you can take away the Kedusha completely. And the Mishnah won't even let you make it a Shlomi. Wants you to make it an Ayla. That doesn't make any sense. If the Mishnah wants you to make it an Ayla, you're going to take away the Kedusha completely by putting in a mum? So how does Rav Yehuda explain that? Says Rav Yehuda, what are you comparing about? The Mishnah is talking about Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. There's a point of having the Kedusha be able to bring it on. I'm talking in practical terms, Bizman HaZeh. You're not going to be able to bring it for a carbon anyway. So there's no problem with taking off its Kedusha. So fine, so put a mum in it. What's the problem? Obviously, I never would have said to do that if it was Roy to bring on the Mizbeach. I wouldn't have wanted to take it away from that Mizbeach. I would have said, okay, there you'd have to make it an Ayla.
Why shouldn't it be a L'chashkila din, his mum is
in? What?
To put a mum in Europe.
It is, in a way. Yeah, actually, that was all Gemara said. Efshalay ben Rebuda. And therefore you shouldn't do the other things like getting the goy involved. But in the end, we don't use it because of the chashoshas that we may do it wrong. Let's see, let's finish the singing. So, ki amrani is bizman hazeh, the lo chazi l'akrov anyway. So, I bizman hazeh, my lamemra. So what's the chiddush? I mean, it's obvious. What are you telling me? No, it's still a big chiddush because ba'datei menigz adim anafik rov rosho. Because kashari be muma? I mean, I might have thought that, look, you know, it's on its way out. I mean, you're doing this, the normal way of doing this is the animal's in the process of giving birth, and this guy's going to bring a pair of scissors and make a nick in its ear. I mean, by the time he does that, the head may already have been delivered, in which case we'd have a din of Bechor, and now you're going to be over in Issa D'Oraisa, being Matal Mum of Bechor, and that's not such a good idea. Hey, you know what? That's a good point. Emo Hachinami, why aren't we worried about that? I mean, why are we more concerned? No, I feel okay, Adifa. I mean, it's still better than leaving it as a Bechor or doing one of these other things. I mean, if you're going to have an animal that's Kadesh, you're likely to come to a lot of Isurin. You're not allowed to work with that animal. You know, you can't take the fleece. I mean, you're going to have an animal like that in your flock, tens of them. What are you going to do? It's better. Okay, you're right. It's a tough problem, but this is a better idea than having kedusha. Bizman hazeh, im nekeva zibchei shlamit nekeva. Why in the world would he give away a nekeva if it wouldn't have been kadosh b'bechor anyway? You start a mission that's ketzav ma'arim in ala b'chor, and you get into women's lip. So nekeva mikar kacher b'bechor. You know, the Sefer was talking about a behema of hegdish already. You see. With the behemoth of Hegdesh, and then what he wants to do, let's say he had a chatas, set aside a chatas, and this chatas becomes pregnant. So what he wants to do, I don't need two chataot. So he figures, okay, so I'll give now because what's going to happen now? It'll be a vlat chatas. What's the name of a vlat chatas? It's Tzeilich Lamisa. What do I need it to go to Holech Lamisa for? So what I'll do is, I'll give it a different kedusha now.
Assuming you can.
Assuming that I can. Obviously, this is dependent on the din of Lodesh Kachim, whether they're Kodesh in the, as they develop, as the, in the uterus, or whether they're Kodesh only when they're born. That we're going to discuss tomorrow. But so the Mishnah is coming to tell me, a Behem of Egdesh, I could do the same thing. So, then the next case is what?
Shnei
Zecharim. But, what do you mean, Shnei Zecharim? If we're you said it's talking about Vladis Kachim. So, Amri, Ibehema the Hekdesh. Are we talking about Hekdesh? So then, the Hektagish Eila, the Hadir Eila, Edech Nahavi Bikdusha, say the Ime. What do you mean the money is fulin? And it becomes an Eila. If you didn't say it should be a carbon Eila, So then it remains with the mother's kedusha on it. Only the thing that you bedafka were markish would take it away from his kedusha. No. The seifa actually was talking about chulin again. We're going back and forth here. Okay. And tomorrow we'll deal with the tumtum of androgynous, huh?
I don't know if it's my colleague, but I'm not.